Tancast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Sometimes the best laughs you get in life are the laughs you get when you're not supposed to be laughing.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
Tancast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb. I'm a stand-up comedian. My job is to make people laugh. But you know who makes me laugh? My two old roommates, Andy and Noah. We used to live together in a tan house, so now we get together every week and do this tan cast. This week, we read some listener email about marriage, Noah goes to Coachella, Tim salutes Joe Klosick and hates on hecklers, and it's a geriatric Monday night tan fight as Will Money faces off against John Mason. And when you hear this sound,
what the fuck is up, Coachella?
That means there's a link to whatever we're talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
Tancast.
Welcome to Tancast.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah. I'm Tim, the T in Tancast.
I'm A. I'm something.
I'm Noah, the N in Tancast.
Welcome back after the brief respite from last week. Hope you enjoyed Tancast Theater, production of Saving Grace.
You better have mofos.
Whoa.
Or else nothing will happen.
I was going to say, or...
In addition to mad props to Grace for writing that script, I was like, are we inspiring people to write? Because I played it for Danelle, and like there was a part where like Noah turns around and has huge tits, and she just looked at me like, what are you doing with your life?
you're on the right track, my friend.
Why have you created something in the world that has inspired somebody to write this and other people to perform it?
You know, so, what?
I don't know,
it was already there.
Glorious.
It was deep down.
But anyway, I wanted to get... It turned out that the narrator was like 90% of that story. So mad props to Kiki. Fucking... That thing would have tanked had it not been for her performance. So,
yeah.
Kiki, you're doing it.
I gotta say, sir, you know, just to slob on your knob just a little, you layering the sound effects underneath the editor kind of kept her from just hanging out like, all right, now I deliver a lot of explanation.
Well, and also, as long as we're giving props, Andy gave me several different line readings of every line to choose from. And that, Noah, I think, pointed it out on Twitter, my kid kicks his feet! Like, I can't even do it the way you did. And there's an outtake where, you know, the part where he's out of breath, he actually made himself dizzy breathing so hard. And that made me laugh during
it's
the
like,
editing process.
See what Andy does for you people? What's the idiot version of method acting? It's like... Well, I can't act out of breath, so I better be out of breath.
And then there was Noah. Slap that shit down. Line, done. Not that Noah's reads weren't good. It was just, it was very quick, very to the point.
Yeah. I like Noah's, feast your eyes, ladies.
It was so understated. Because it was like, feast your eyes, ladies. It's like, feast your eyes, ladies.
That's how you gotta do it, man. It's so big, if I get all aggressive, I scare them off.
Gotta be gentle. Like, hey, girls, how you doing? It's all right. It won't bite. Come on. Just come on over. It's your friend. He's my friend and yours.
Speaking of my friend and yours... Tan Laughs?
Doing it.
The Angelo Bowers Memorial Tan Laugh segment.
Guys, thank you so much.
It's Tan Laugh time, where we read some jokes for you. But if you don't send jokes to us, then we'll be totally screwed. Your mom at tancast.com is where you send them in. I'll stop singing this jingle now so the tan laughs can begin.
Hold on to your butt.
I can do a tan laugh.
I could probably do one too. I make no guarantees though.
You got one?
No, I'm looking one up.
Oh, okay. Well, this one is from Dominic, and I am picking it because the subject line was jokety joke jokes for all the folkety folk folks.
How can you not?
Exactly. I was like, click. That is the one I'm reading. hey, Tancast, I've been listening for a while now and thought, why not find some jokes to send in? Here they are. Hopefully you haven't read them before. And I know at least the first one I didn't recognize, so I'm going to start reading them. A man and a woman start to have sex in the middle of a dark forest. After about 15 minutes of it, the man finally gets up and says, damn, I wish I had a flashlight. The woman says, me too. You've been eating grass for the past 10 minutes.
Oh.
How would...
That sounds like that joke really took them by surprise. a man says, God, why you make woman so beautiful? God says, so you would love her. Man says, but God, why you make her so dumb? God, so she would love you. I think we've done that before, and I think I just heard it recently.
Yep. Going through I like that it was like caveman style.
Yeah.
God, why you make woman so beautiful?
Or Hulk style.
Then take walk in park.
Always take walk in park.
The other one we've already done, and then he goes, that's all I've got. Hope they were up to Tancast's high standards. Also just wondering if you guys could give my podcast a shout out, and maybe I can get some listeners at all. I doubt I'll steal any away from you, so no worries. My podcast is located at Nakama.
I think it's Nakama.
What?
I think it's Nakama.
NakamaGamingPodcast.blogspot.com. You know what? I'll just throw a link in the show notes, and I can stop worrying about how to pronounce it.
Boom. What the fuck is up, Coachella?
And we're also on iTunes. Just search for the Nakama Gaming Podcast. You're going to have to look for that yourself. Well, I'll spell it in the show notes, so you can, if you want to search for it on iTunes, you can do that too. Thanks for all the laughs and helping me pass the time on long car trips. You guys are doing it.
Aw.
Thank you, Dominic. Yeah. And you're doing it as well.
Dominic, here's your shout out.
Out! Get the fuck out!
I think I saw on Twitter, I'm looking for extra podcasts because this or this wasn't recording this week. He's like, you should check out the gaming podcast. I'm like, sorry, dude, I am the wrong Tancaster to check out a gaming podcast, because I'll be like, oh, they're talking about... So I haven't checked it out, but I'm sure if you're into gaming, it's fucking awesome. So check it out and love it and stroke to it.
Halo, eh? What sort of Nintendo does that run on?
That abused him.
Is this the one where you eat the dots and run away from the ghosts?
For some reason, I cannot listen to audio gaming podcasts. It's just not exciting to me. I don't know why.
All right.
I have watched a few video ones in the past.
Okay.
That is all.
Okay. You got a tan laugh there, Mr. Bring It to a Halt?
I do! Let's run it back up. It was a small town. Oh, sorry. This was sent in by Rockin' Roger. He's rockin'.
Tweedledee. Tweedledee.
It was a small town, and the patrolman was making his rounds. He was checking a used car lot. He came upon two little ladies sitting in a used car. He stopped and asked them why they were sitting there in the car, and... Where are they trying to steal it? Heavens no, we bought it. Then why don't you drive away? We can't drive. Then why did you buy it? The officer said. We were told that if we bought a used car, we'd get screwed. So we're just waiting. Sent on Sprint, registered trademark. Now Network from BlackBerry, registered trademark.
No, I don't think that was part of the joke.
You got an extra laugh out of me. I'll take a free laugh.
Alrighty. Well, I'm going to do some more jokes from Hillary, because she sent in an email complaining that we hadn't done any of her jokes, just as we were recording a bunch of jokes from her a couple episodes ago.
And then I believe she tweeted or emailed an apology or something like that.
Yeah, like, ah, shit, now I just listened to the latest episode and you guys did it or something like that. Which, actually, we'll circle back to that, because that one is Tancast listener email.
Oh, well.
So, we're double dipping the hill dog.
Wait,
I'm just handing out nicknames left and right.
Double dipping the hill dog.
Okay. I get what's going on here.
Just go with it. All right.
I see what you're doing.
We actually did that one.
Fucked it up already.
Maybe it's been a while since we've done it. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson go on a camping trip.
No.
Nope.
I'm just kidding.
May I continue then?
I suppose.
All right. After a good dinner and a bottle of wine, they retire for the night and go to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes wakes up and nudges his faithful friend. Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. I see millions and millions of stars, Holmes, replies Watson. And what do you deduce from that? Watson ponders for a minute. Well, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately a quarter past three. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are small and insignificant part of the universe. But what does it tell you, Holmes? Holmes is silent for a minute. Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent.
Wah, wah, wah.
Here's a shorter one. What do you call a monkey in a minefield?
I don't know.
A baboom.
I did not see that coming.
Guy walks into a pub and sees a sign hanging over the bar that reads cheeseburger, $1.50. Chicken sandwich, $2.50. Hand job, $10.
Wash your hands, I want a chicken for sandwich.
Yep.
I will not suffer these jokes that we have already told.
Alrighty.
So take that, motherfucker.
There's dip number one. We want to get just straight into the Tancast listener email?
Sure.
Captain, incoming message.
You've got mail.
Message for you, son.
DeVille! DeVille is here!
Tancast listener email!
Alright. Yeah, so apology, yada yada. I also have something I'd like you guys to discuss. My fiancé Matt and I are going to be married in September of this year, and I was wondering what things do your wives do that really make your day? Do not have to be sex-related, in all caps. Oh, sorry, that should be shouted. Do not have to be sex-related!
No, they do not!
I guess she knew exactly where we were going to go.
I thought you said things that
make our day. Yep. It would also be kind of fun to hear how you guys propose to your wives. Just me being all girly and stuff. Thanks for being awesome. Hillary, the number one fan of all things Walt Disney World related. Well, I would have to say, for Noah, the number one thing that his wife did was get the fuck out!
All right, that will be edited out. Right, Noah?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. He didn't sound very angry about it, you know, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. We'll leave it then.
We should let it stand.
Yes.
I was like, come on, dude. We're not here to drag Noah's personal life into the podcast. I believe on a past Valentine's Day episode, we all talked about how we proposed.
What the fuck is up, Coachella?
Yeah, I think we did. Like, probably 4 years ago.
Probably. Yeah. Mine was in the bathroom on New Year's Eve.
Sexy.
I was there for that.
Yep. Were you shaking him off?
Yes. While I was wiping, he was down on one knee.
I shouldn't say the bathroom. It's just the sink.
Dearest, oh God, dearest, Noah, dearest, you light of my life.
All right. Andy's was at the restaurant where they had their first date on their anniversary of their first date.
Indeed, the 1 year anniversary.
And Noah's was a horrible, horrible error. I can edit that part out too if you want.
Nah, you know, hindsight is 2020.
True.
I proposed on Christmas Eve. Or no.
Yes, you did.
Christmas Day.
Oh. Yes.
And I don't think I mentioned this part, but before I proposed, like maybe a week or so ago, I said something stupid, you know, just smarting off and pissed Stephanie off. So I was a little afraid that she would say no. She did not. But I was like, this may not go over. I'll give it a shot.
You did mention that when you told the story.
Okay.
You're like,
I think I told you guys this, and I may have said this. No, actually, my wife listened more religiously. I probably left this part out. God, it was like a month, I think. Like, I was planning. I'd picked out the ring and everything. Like, I knew which ring it was going to be. I had the plan of, like, how it was going to go down. I think I'd even made the reservations, like, a month out. And then we had some sort of huge fight. It was, like major... It was probably the biggest fight that we'd ever had, and probably the biggest fight that we had for several years after that. And I don't even remember what it was about, but I vaguely remember telling either one or both of you guys, well, if we get past this, we can get past anything, and I'm going to propose. And if we don't, then I got to cancel. Like, if we don't, this is it. Like, this is going to be the fight that breaks us up.
I believe you did mention this. Because I guess you guys were talking about, you were talking about proposals or something like that beforehand, before this fight. Mm-hmm. And then after you guys made it through that fight, you stopped talking about it. Which,
yes.
In your mind, meant, because I have made this decision. And in her mind, meant, I guess he doesn't want to propose anymore.
Yes, she was very surprised.
Maybe
when it
marriage
happened.
In general, not specifically proposals.
Yeah. 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 So she started to get really, really worried, apparently. So, guys, don't do that thing that I did that Tim just said.
Do the thing where Tim did, where he shortened that story by about 5 minutes for you. You're welcome.
Hey, I'm still proud of that, man. I had them playing our song when I proposed. I had it all worked out. I gave them a CD full of our song. So, like, no matter what track they picked, it was our song.
I didn't know that part. Why not just have a CD with one song on it?
Because sometimes if there's not enough audio, some CD... It was actually a DVD player, because it was like
a brew pub kind of situation. So they had the ability to, like, put old games and whatever up on all their TVs. And they had... It was like a...
And some DVD players will freak out if there's, like, not enough data on there. They'll think it's blank.
There you go. All right. Well, then, good move. And it worked out for you.
Now you all know too much about audio CDs.
When I was married, I guess, like, sometimes when, like, Steph would bring me a treat, that was nice. Like, Joe, I was at the store, and I bought you this. You know, candy or something. You know, something I liked. That was always nice.
Just a little treat.
Little treat, just doing nice things. I mean, I guess, you know, it's always, when someone thinks about you, you know, and they do something for you that you like, that makes my day.
Yeah. I gotta say, kind of in that same vein, blowjobs for no reason.
As opposed to blowjobs for a reason?
Yeah, a BJ is a BJ, but when they're owed, when it's like...
What?
Well, I guess I owe you.
Ah,
all right. Drop them.
So it's basically the attitude.
Well, and like, just surprise BJ. Like,
surprise!
Hey, you want to watch some Jon Stewart? Well, you can watch Jon Stewart.
Wow. Yeah, that would make your day.
I'm not saying they happen often. I'm just saying when they do, it's like, it's special.
This might be odd. I like, my wife will sometimes scratch my back. I like that a lot.
That is very nice.
Tim, you are such a simple man.
It's hard to reach back there, and it feels very nice when someone scratches it, when it itches, and my back often itches.
It's like, it's calming.
It's very calming.
It's like, ah, the world can fuck off. I'm getting a back scratch.
I almost rank it, in fact, often I rank it better than a massage, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. My problem with a massage, I'm a hairy dude. Like, I don't have, like, a lot of back hair, so that's okay. But, like legs and everything, it's just not possible to massage me without it feeling, to me, like you're just grabbing handfuls of hair and, like, yanking them in opposite directions.
Hot.
I'd have to shave down.
Hot.
I'd have to hair suit nude up. Did I say hair suit? No, I said hair suit.
Hair suit. I made a hair suit.
No, didn't you want to make a pube sweater?
Yep.
I might have
a couple episodes back.
Oh, no, it was a pube, like, monster costume or something.
Yeah, well, a full-on monster.
Yeah.
A life-size monster made out of, that would be half, by life-size, it had to be the size of the person whose pubes were being donated.
It's all coming back to me now. What are some other nice things?
He was going to get on Kickstarter, and then he's like, I don't really need a lot of funding for this.
Just... Kickstarter, I need $50 to purchase some clippers. But Kickstarter projects always get more than you need, so maybe someone's like, well, ship some in too, and I'll make $100,000.
Maybe. That's a lot of pubes.
That's a lot of pubes!
We got $240 worth of pubes. Now you might be asking yourself, Barry and LeVon, where did you get $240? Shh. That's right, never you mind.
You might more be asking yourself, who is pricing pubes, and at what price are they, and how much would $240 get you?
That is an excellent question. And when we find out, we will have an exchange rate of pubes to Vietnamese hookers.
How much do pubes go for on the open market? What is the supply-demand thing? I would have to say, pretty low.
Who will tell us? Street.
I would have to imagine $240 is a
value
lot.
Value of pubes.
Unless you're counting like a merkin.
Merkin.
Shit, I can't remember the comedian's name, but she was on a recent Doug Loves Movies talking about how she was going to have to nude up for some laugh in a adult-ish comedy.
She was one half of, fuck off. Garfunkel and Oates. I'm like, I could not think of Garfunkel. I believe she was Oates.
Ah.
Anyway, yes, she was going to nude up.
Yeah, and she was talking about being concerned about, like, whether she would be on her period, and Yeah, mainly that. So, like, they were talking about, well, it's like a nosebleed. You just got to, you know, stand on your head until it goes away. And I was thinking, I was like, so she's really going to be not like, you know, they're not going to, like, slap a big fake bush. Like, she's going to have to, because I think that you still go, like, if you show the slit, I think, on at least American rating systems, you go from R to NC-17 at least. So she's going to have, like, a bush to sort of, you know, make it just like, there's genitalia under here, but you may not see it.
Or they'll just have to angle it correctly, so you never actually see it.
Well, no, she was talking about, like, that part of the joke was that it'll be just, you know, bush out. Oh, hey, the other person from Garfunkel and Oates is Kate Micucci.
That's...
Oh, it was Kate Micucci that was doing it, wasn't it?
Yeah. She's on Doug Loves Movies recently.
No, I thought it was... Yeah, Kate Micucci was on Doug Loves Movies, but I'm pretty sure it was the other girl.
I'd rather see her naked anyways. You know,
I thought they made a Micucci joke.
They may have made a Micucci joke on that episode, but the one he was talking about...
In regards to her being naked. Jesus Christ. Can't you see where I'm going with things?
Oh, maybe they both nude it up, because I know Kate Micucci's voice.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Do not.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You do not.
I used to fuck her.
No, you didn't.
No.
See?
Starting a rumor. If we had listeners, somebody would be telling her. But we don't, so I'm safe.
I was on, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not going to try to transition into it. I was on Drinking Buddies.
I'm pretty sure that I didn't transition at all into that chick nuding up. So
he sure didn't. how was your appearance on Drinking Buddies?
Amazing.
Did you get your drink on?
I did not. I talked about Coachella because I should mention that I met Jerry at Coachella. We hung out for a little bit.
Yay.
And he, for some reason, I kept randomly running into him. Like I went to go see Black Keys, and I was in a pretty big crowd, and then all of a sudden, he's, like, right behind me. I was like, oh, that is amazing. I could not find my friends who I was there with, but he found me.
Jerry had his Noah tracker on.
Beep, 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 beep.
Maybe it's easier to find the black guy in the sea of hippie white dudes.
There was a lot of white people, but there was all kinds. There was a lot of hot ladies and not a lot of clothing.
Yeah.
That's what that there was. Wow, there's a lot of hot ladies. Like... It was almost like you couldn't look anywhere unless you closed your eyes without seeing some hot lady. It's like, oh, yep, there's one over there, and there's one over there.
Noah's just passing out his card. Huge cock, 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 huge cock. You get a card? You got a card? Good. Huge cock.
Get one of those, those 5x8 cards?
Life-size cards of my cock.
Yes, I was going to say, get one of those 5x8 cards handed out and go, cock-sized.
It's a fold-out.
Keep going. Yep.
One more. There you go. Wait, can you see the balls? Okay, then there's one more.
So how was Coachella?
Hot as fuck.
Deserts are like that.
I think it was like, I think it's like the hottest it's ever been. It was like 104, 105.
Ooh.
It was
That'll
good.
Sweat your balls.
I had a lot of fun. So not only do you have to shit in porta potties, but the porta potties are fucking the hottest place there. Like as soon as you step in the porta potty, it's like just sweat just pouring down. So it's like you're trying to take a shit, you're sweating. It's just like, oh, this is sucks.
It's the automatic bidet. You don't gotta wipe. It's just gonna roll right off you.
I mean, I feel like they. Well, just talk about the logistics of it. I feel like they. Do a fairly good job of like planning for everything, but it's just so hard with so many people. Like I don't know how many people were there this year, but I read like in 2010 there was like 225,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot, shit ton of people. So like sometimes you have to wait like you know a long time to like take a shower or you know for other things. But the music was good. I got to see quite a few bands that I've wanted to see for a while. So that was cool. I got to see Girl Talk. Which was a lot of fun. I don't know. Do you guys know Girl Talk?
Nope.
So Girl Talk. He does mashups, but you know, normally you know, mashup is like usually one or two songs, a couple songs mashed together, and they play the whole song together. His one track will be multiple songs transitioning from one to the other. So you know, he may do like you know, 8 songs in one track. You know, in the span of like you know, 3-4 minutes.
Wow.
And it's really good. Like it's never it's never like jarring, like, oh, that didn't sound good together. It's a pretty smooth transition. If you want to get his album, Girl Talk All Day, it is free, so check it out. Tune Yards was good. I got to see Tupac's hologram. I did air quotes.
Yeah, since it wasn't really a hologram.
No, but, you know, I mean, you know, it was all right. I wasn't really that impressed. I mean, I'm just like, oh, yep, that's a dead guy.
So, what was it really?
It was like what they do at the Haunted Mansion, where they project it onto a mirror.
Oh, interesting.
I saw a diagram somewhere. I will link to it. So basically, they shoot it down onto the floor that has a reflective surface and reflects back onto an angled mirror, is what the diagram showed. So I will look at that right now.
There's a name for that effect. It's called, like, somebody's ghost.
Pepper's ghost, I believe.
Who?
Pepper?
Pepper, yes. Pepper. Pepper Potts' ghost. They killed Gwyneth Paltrow, and she turned it into Tupac.
Pepper's ghost. This Halloween.
And I swear that was the most people I think I've ever seen in one place in my life. Like, especially, like, the last day, it felt like everyone who was there, like, came out to see Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. It's just like a sea of people. It was pretty amazing.
Not a C-minus?
No. So, yeah, here's a diagram of how they did it. What the fuck is up, Coachella? So this part was kind of lame. So they did California, and then they bring out Tupac, but he doesn't sing his part from California. Like, I'm like, wow, if you're going to bring him out, have him sing that part. That's, like, the best part of the song. So I saw someone, an artist called DJ Shadow, and I almost left because he comes out, and he's like, all right, you know, he says something, and then he disappears behind this ball. And then he starts playing the music, and all you see is this ball with, like, animations going on it. I'm like, I mean, he's a DJ, so it's not like, you know, you can really tell what he's doing. It looks like, you know, not knob twiddling. But it's just like, I'm like, I can play a CD and watch, like, fucking iTunes visualizer if I want to see this shit. I want to see you doing something. finally, the globe opened up. You got to see him for a little bit. So then I end up staying, but I was like, really? Like, I'd like to see you. Like, I'm like, hey, yep, there's some crappy visuals. Like, it wasn't even like they're amazing, like, visuals. Like, oh shit, this shit's blowing my mind. It looks like some shit that someone did on their home computer. Like, let me just do some 3D shit. All right, there you go. Wrap it up.
There's, oh God, I wish I could remember what the name of the act is. All I can remember is the description of it, where they have just like a bunch of like, of stacked blocks. You guys will get this, probably none of our listeners will, but remember Qbert?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Kind of looks like that. Where it's like a pyramid kind of going back. And they have a couple of high def projectors projecting at those blocks other images, including images of the blocks, but they're done in such a way, because the blocks themselves are 3D, that the computer that is driving these projectors can make effects that themselves look like they're 3D and like coming out towards the audience. So they'll do things like make it look like all those blocks that are still physically up on stage are just collapsing down into like a single layer pile on the ground.
That
or like they're pulsing and coming out at you and shit.
Yeah, that sounds much better than the shit I saw.
Yeah, and I've seen, I saw a video of it. The video was impressive, and the write-up that I saw said, this video doesn't do it justice. Being there in person, where you can actually see it in 3D, like, blows your fucking mind. But that dude was just inside a big sphere, with, like, some doodly lights on him.
Yeah, I mean, they played some visuals around that made it look like the sphere was, like, rotating, like, ooh, it's spinning around!
It's spinning, nigga, it's spinning.
So, like, only thing, like, if I go again, I definitely will. What?
I said my family's leaving me. My wife, my mom, and my son all just walked out by the patio. And I think they're all heading to the pool.
Like, screw you, we're leaving you for some coolness.
Took too long to tank ass. Jibber, jabber, jabber, jibber. We're gone.
Blah, blah.
If I go again, I definitely would try to see more bands. Like, I feel like I didn't see enough, and I feel like I missed on, like, maybe some good stuff that I would have liked that, you know, people I hadn't heard of before. And I learned some tricks for next year. Like, shower at 12 at night because no one wants to shower then.
Really?
Didn't seem like it. Like, the times, like, you could wait an hour plus for the shower. Some people are doing, like, whore showers where you just kind of towel yourself down.
Yep.
I thought that was when you showered with two other dudes.
No, that's your mom.
Or you form the letter H.
You know what? She's still in earshot. I'll grab her and she will kick your ass.
Come on, bring it. I'll see her. Oh. I'll see her at the birthday party.
Oh yeah, and she will give you a slice of birthday ass whooping.
You know, if you drop the word whooping from that, that's a completely different sentence.
Shut up. She's gonna give you a slice of birthday ass.
Shut up. Shut your filthy
mouth. Thank
mouths.
You, Andy.
You're welcome.
Shut both of your filthy mouths.
Yeah, so all in all, it was good. I'm glad I went. I would go again. I'd definitely probably be more selective this time. Like, I would wait for a lineup that I'm like, oh, I'm really jazzed about. But, you know, I enjoyed what I saw. And that is all.
Very good.
Unless you have any questions for me?
Why should I give a shit?
Jerry asked me if either one of you would go. I said, no, Tim's too cheap, and it didn't seem like his type of thing. And I was like, I don't think it's Andy's type of thing either. But I'm less sure about Andy.
Younger Andy would go. I don't know if domesticated Andy would necessarily go.
I was like, older Andy's version of rock and roll is sneaking into the Metallica show at the fucking conference for whatever program it was, Salesforce.
Software conference!
Software conference! I'm sneaking into a rock show at a software conference. I just snuck in.
Free rock show, I snuck
in!
Oh, wait,
I'm sorry. Snuck into the free rock show.
Yes.
Not like someone's going to demand his ticket once he's inside. He's inside. It's free.
Hey.
People don't give a shit.
I was going by against the will of the man.
Rock and roll!
I'm wearing my loafers!
Rock and roll!
I was like, fuck you, the man!
Fuck you, the man! I'm going to sneak into your free concert!
Me and my Dockers and my laptop bag are going to go in and get some free beer.
I didn't even bring my pocket pen protector because I'm living crazy tonight!
What voice is that?
That's Andy's crazy rebellious voice!
I like it.
All right, Tim. Well, I'll be back in, most likely, back in San Francisco for Salesforce again this year, for Dreamforce. So I'll try to live up to your expectations of me and do something a little more rock and roll.
Can I come with you? Can I sneak into the PowerPoint presentation? Oh, shit, we're not even supposed to be here, motherfucker!
Can I sneak into Cat Stevens?
I don't have a badge.
I made my badge out at Kinko's, baby. They don't even know. This lanyard's a shoestring. I'm rock and roll.
I'm saying I'm way past my bedtime. I may not even brush my teeth tonight.
I've been scalping tickets to the Hootie and the Blowfish seminar. I know Darius Rucker isn't going to be there, but it's still rock and roll, baby.
I like that it's a seminar.
Yeah, they're having a seminar. I wanted to say, before we move on to our final thing, I want to talk briefly about hecklers in two different ways. The first is a comedian friend of mine named Joe Klosik was just featured today, well, today as the day we were recording this, on crack.com. They did an article of the 10 most satisfying cases of hecklers getting destroyed. And number 5 is my good buddy Joe Klosik.
What the fuck is up, Coachella?
And also on that page, Joe Rogan, Patton Oswalt, and Bill Burr. And so I was like, yeah, he should be on the same page with those guys. And it's really – I've seen the clip many times. He actually brings the heckler on stage because he's like, give me the mic. And so he does and just lets him hang himself. And, like, to the untrained eye, it may look like, oh, well, the guy just fucked up and so – like, the guy just sucks at it and so that's why it's funny. But no, Joe just keeps slipping these little jabs, like these little bah, 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 until, like, finally it's like these, like by the end he's like, haymaker, wham, haymaker, wham, until the guy, he's like, the very end of the clip is like, so do you want to sit down now? And the guy just sort of nods, like, sheepishly, yeah. Oh, awesome. Anyways, I'm very happy to see, you guys both have seen Joe, because when I headlined that show at the San Jose Improv before I moved to L.A., he was nice enough to actually open for, or not open for me, but, you know, be on that bill, as opposed to any other time we've worked together, he would be the headliner, and I would be lucky to sniff his jockstrap.
And how does it smell?
If either of us wore a jockstrap, which we
do not. I'm going to have to go back and watch each and every one of these.
Yeah, the Bill Burr one is a fantastic one as well. Bill Burr is just, he watched the two comedians before him just get booed through his entire set, and so his set just turned into him being angry at the audience for not being there to participate, and he's just insulting them. And they talk about it in the article. As soon as they start getting into it, like finding what he's saying funny, he switches it and insults them on another level. And then every time they start booing, he just chants out how many minutes he has left before he's getting off the stage. Oh, it's so funny. Unfortunately, the sound quality is really crappy. Otherwise, I'd put it in here. But it's just like, yeah, and you're so, I think it was Boston. He's like, yeah, too bad. Your team sucks. 8 minutes left. And then, like, as he leaves, I believe he gets a standing ovation. He basically just literally told these people to fuck themselves as many different ways as possible for however many minutes. I think 11 minutes. And then they're, yes, thank you.
People love a bad boy.
I want to talk a little bit about my own little heckler experience that you may have heard at the end of last week's episode.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, Noah. I don't know if Noah heard the whole thing.
I don't think I did.
Yep. I was like, I bet Noah turned it off. He's like, I've heard this part of the act. Click. So I talk about how our famous bit in Tancast is about a debate about whether or not you can stop Superman from raping you. And I start to go into the joke that I have after that. And this girl yells out, bring on Superman. I was like, did you just really request for Superman to rape you right now?
Did you wear your Superman shirt? Because I've been sweet.
No. I wasn't.
Because he's a hair, but I'll fucking rape the shit out of you.
And this is why, just don't heckle at fucking shows, because I was building toward a climax of the set, and that just completely derailed it. And you can hear it in my voice. I was like, what was I talking about? Oh, forget it. Like, there was no way to bring it back around to, like, the story I was trying to set up, and so then I just had to end talking to her, which I didn't want to do, and it made me upset.
You did well, where you're like, where was I? Oh, forget it. There was going to be great comedy, but no, somebody got to talk about how they want Superman to come rape them. And then you told her that Superman would blow a load out the back of her spine.
Yes, but that is technically from Mallrats, so I felt a little bit hacky. But then the next night, that I was not recording, and a night that did not go nearly as well, this woman has her cell phone out. Like, they talk about, you know, they make this announcement at the beginning, like, please keep no cell phones, no texting, yada, yada, yada. So in the middle of the joke, it's about fail blog, as I recall. And I was like, but you'd like seeing people fail too. If this happened to you and I say something that happened to me, and I said, or if this happened to you and I say something else that happened to me, and then I go, or if someone was flagrantly disregarding the rules and shining their cell phone in the middle of your set, ruining the mood for everyone else. Because the only reason I commented on it is because the two tables around her, their heads kept swiveling. Like, they were looking at me, and all of a sudden they were swiveling towards her phone. I was like, well, now I have to address it. And then so then the audience laughs at that, and then I say something else, and her phone literally gets brighter. Like, she literally turns it on brighter. I'm like, I like how you're not even going to turn it off. You're actually turn it on brighter. And then she tries to say something. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that it was popular to come to the club with the Bat Signal app on your iPhone to try and distract everybody. All right, nothing. Okay, I thought it was funny. What's that?
I said I laughed.
I went on with my set, and then like I just got like I had lost her whole table for some reason. And then I went back to like, so are we still cool now? And just I got like a frozen response. I'm like, great, she wants me dead. Well, get at the back of a very long line. And then the whole audience felt sorry for me.
Aww.
But then the guy after me, like he said a joke and she interrupted his joke, and then he ripped her to the point where it was, I'm not even going to say the guy's name because I don't know if he wants this out and about in the world, but he ripped her to the point where it's uncomfortable.
Nice.
He was like, you know why you're talking? Because your man's not slinging enough dick. If you were getting fucked regularly, your mouth would be too hoarse from screaming in ecstasy. And I was like, Jesus Christ. That's very misogynistic. And then she would not stop talking. And he's like, well, you know what? She said something, something. You're something, something, something. He's like, well, you're a 45-year-old woman in a miniskirt. So what are you telling me for?
Wow.
And the best part is at the end of it did get nice and awkward. The headliner was able to sort of make it okay, but she never stopped talking the entire time. And I was like, fuck it, I hate that. That's one of the things I hate, because I couldn't really see her very well from where I was, is pretty girls in comedy shows who can't deal with the fact that the attention is not on them. Like, oh, why aren't people paying attention to me? I'm pretty. That's what people do. They pay attention to me all the time because I'm pretty. Ah! Then I saw her after the show. I was like, oh, that's even worse. She thinks she's pretty and is sorely mistaken, because that shit was busted. And not like time had taken its toll. No, can't blame time for that. That's how those parts came. Just busted. Busted.
Can't blame time.
Looks
that's
like someone
God's
didn't
fault.
Read the IKEA directions.
There were parts left over. And I hope she listens to this someday. You are an ugly lady. I hope you listen. Ugly. You are ugly inside and out. Die in a Christmas
all
fire.
All around.
I don't
you
care
just...
that it's only April. Die in a Christmas
you
fire.
You know what she's saying to herself right now? Stupid little fucking comedian. I was working that dress.
Yeah, that's why she was wearing the miniskirt, so you'd look at her legs and not her face.
Yep, that's like camouflage.
You've heard of butterface? This was a whole cube of butterface.
Oh.
You could butter 12 loaves with this face.
This was not a butterface. This was a margarine face. It wishes it was a butterface.
This is, I can't believe it's not butterface. Wait, no, that makes it sound like it's not a butterface.
Yeah. No, margarine face is better. It aspires to butterface.
Parquet.
Porque.
Anyway, that's it. I wanted to give Joe some props because, fuck it, I love Joe. Joe Klosik.
What the fuck is up, Coachella?
Yeah.
And, I wanted to piss on that, fucking bitch. Fuck
yeah,
her.
Do it up. I've got two super quick movie reviews.
All right, we'll make them
do
super
it.
Quick.
I watched Hannah, Only One H, H-A-N-N-A, movie with a little girl who's apparently been trained since birth to be a dangerous killer. By a father who is apparently likewise a dangerous killer. And for some reason, people want her dead. That's sort of the whole setup. Anything more would, I think, kind of get a little bit spoilery. But it was a good movie. I know it was, like, pretty well reviewed, but I didn't think it was, like, great, just, you know, decent.
Decent.
Yeah.
Moved along at a good pace.
What was that?
Cate Blanchett is hot.
Cate Blanchett is always hot, and she was doing a Southern accent pretty convincingly.
I've never really cared for Cate Blanchett. I've been listening to old Tancast, and several times Noah has talked about how hot Cate Blanchett is. Don't see it.
I'd stick my dick in it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying.
I don't know why I like her. Just something about her just appeals to me.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's the cheekbones.
Could be.
I don't know why.
I think it's my bone in her.
But yeah, I watched that one on Netflix because it came out like 2 years ago, and I'm just now getting around to it. It came out a year ago, and I wasn't watching it on Netflix. I was watching it on HBO Go, which is also fantastic. More entertainment companies need to be doing shit like this.
Go, HBO Go!
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. And HBO needs to make apps for more things, because right now they've got Xbox and, like, iPhone, and you can watch it on your computer. And if they had Wii, I could watch it upstairs. And that would make me happy. So HBO, I want to watch your shit upstairs. Get on it. Other thing we saw was Hunger Games. Saw it in the theater.
Ooh, look at you going to the theater
with
like
the
a
people.
Big boy.
Yep, got a sitter and everything. I was advocating for Cabin in the Woods. Wife was advocating very strongly for Hunger Games. And since the options from her point of view were we watch Hunger Games or we watch both, because she just got done reading all the books and really, really wanted to see Hunger Games, I said, we're not going to spend 6 fucking hours at the theater today. So let's do Hunger Games.
I feel like Cabin in the Woods would have been a better decision, but Hunger Games is good.
After seeing Hunger Games, I wish we'd gone to Cabin in the Woods, but not because Hunger Games was horrible, just because it was okay. Again, you know, it was decent. I'd say I liked Hannah better than Hunger Games, and I watched it on a tiny little screen.
I would say Hunger Games is like, it was, I mean, it was good, but it was kind of like, you know, you kind of knew what to expect, I guess. Well,
kinda
not
exactly.
I wouldn't say you knew exactly what to expect, but Cabin in the Woods definitely did something new with a genre that has, I guess, been kind of stale for a while.
Yeah, and the thing with Hunger Games was the camera work. So, like, the director, when you're starting off, it's just sort of this, like, slow working your way through this girl's life before she gets pegged to go into the Hunger Games. You know, it's kind of like painting a scene. But the camera, like, was not claustrophobic, but it's all, like, outdoor, like, woodsy. It was filmed in, like, North Carolina or South Carolina, so it was filmed kind of around here. So, you know, like, lots of tall pine trees and rolling hills and whatnot. But the camera keeps being, like, really, really close in on the people and really shaky. And it's, like, not an action scene. They just, like, shot the whole thing either handheld or with a guy who was having an epileptic fit behind the camera or something. And, like I try not to sit down and watch movies. And, you know, since, like, Tim, all the theater and film stuff that you were studying in school and talking about that shit and all the fucking director commentaries that we keep listening to and Jack Leach's class in high school, there's kind of the voice in the back of my head that wants to go, ah, right here they're doing blah, and here they're doing blah, just to, like, notice things like that and feel clever about myself. But in this case, it was like, especially if I'm in the theater, like, I've paid to be there, I really don't want to turn that part on. I just want to, like, sit and enjoy and be immersed in it. And it was so shaky and so up in their faces the whole time. It was like the director sitting next to you going, look what I'm doing here. Look what I'm doing here. Look what I'm doing here. And that kind of got on my nerves.
On your nerves.
Also, a lot of the deaths, because there's 24 kids, and the whole thing is, you know, it's like Thunderdome writ large, 24 enter, one leaves. They kill a lot of those kids off screen. A lot of the kids off screen. Or, like, you, like, see shaky footage and of, like, faces going by and, like, weapons, and you hear thwack, and then, like, it cuts to another one and you see, like, shaky and weapons and whatever. Yeah, so a lot of kids die and it's not bloody and gory. So it seemed to me like the movie was, like, really overselling, like, how much action there was going to be on camera, where a lot of it's implied. But whatever.
I've been reading the books. I'm on the third one.
I think I'm about to start, because fucking everyone's reading it, so why not jump on that popular train?
I guess the books came out years ago.
Because I could not care less.
I am not surprised.
I probably won't even see the movie.
So, anyone else see movies? I mean, Noah, did they project movies onto the desert floor for you or anything? Or
no, I think the last thing I saw was Cabin in the Woods, and I liked it. As most people say, you can't really say much about it without giving stuff away. I will just say...
Thank you for not doing that to me.
I won't even say that. I would just say that it was good. It definitely surprised me. And that is what I will say.
Very good.
Feels like we're getting kind of long, so we should probably get into our, I guess, tan fight?
Yep. We're going to do a tan fight. This is the one when we did the superheroes versus superheroes. This was my second option.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for Monday Night Tan Fight!
So the fighters are... they somehow fell into a time loop, and I'm not really going to say much more than that. They're out in the wilderness in the Wild West. Both are armed evenly with Colt revolvers and... rope and knives and whatnot, stuff kind of appropriate to the time period. But our fighters are Will Money, a.k.a. Clint Eastwood from the movie Unforgiven, and John Patrick Mason, Sean Connery in The Rock. So it's two dudes with old balls who can fuck some shit up.
And I assume that Sean Connery has... you know, the training that he did in The Rock.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said there was a time travel loop or something that has deposited him back there. So,
He's back in time. His training is for a time when not the Old West, so...
Well, killing people's killing people.
That's what Clint Eastwood would say.
I'll say Sean Connery's been back in time for a little while. Had some time to hire himself out as a hired gun to try to make some money, to try to survive. And somebody went and found Will Money and hired him to take Sean Connery out in revenge for somebody that Sean Connery took out. So it's just okay. Two grizzled old dudes.
All right. So they Clint Eastwood has snuck up on Sean Connery?
I'm going to say Sean Connery got word. from somebody else in the town when the people came to see Bill Money that that somebody else wrote out, some sycophant wrote out and told.
So are they just drawing on each other? Or is Sean Connery in a building?
Nope. Sean Connery is camped way out in the wilderness, and Money is going to have to go find him. Like, he's got an idea, like, about where he makes camp, near some high ground, near some water. Neither one of them is quite sure when the other one will show up or where the other one will be. They're just sort of, both aware that one or the other could be popping up suddenly. So they're both on their guard. And let's say that, they catch sight of each other, from opposite sides of a canyon, and there's trees, but not like a dense forest at the bottom of the canyon. So they both make their way down kind of into the trees to try to get an angle on each other. Cause neither one of them has long guns, just handguns. So they couldn't take shots at each other from across the sides of the canyon. And there's a creek down at the bottom of the canyon, but not enough to prevent them from easily crossing back and forth.
I think you mean a creek.
Yeah, sorry, a creek.
Better.
Yes, it is the old-timey South. I should get my my terms right.
So this will just be a straight gunfight.
Gun, knife, booby trap, whatever. Like I said, they've got knives. They've got rocks. They've got trees. They were quite some distance apart, so there's some time if one of them wants to hunker down and try to build some man traps.
Man traps.
I don't know why they heard this term before.
Makes me laugh.
All right. Actually, I guess it wouldn't really be man traps, because the whole point of a man trap is that, like, it keeps you. It doesn't kill you or injure you or whatever.
I'm going to have to give it to Sean Connery. The whole thing, at least, I assume we're seeing Clint Eastwood's character at the very beginning or the very end of the movie Unforgiven?
Yeah, maybe this is his last hit before he retired, before Unforgiven.
Well, wait, how long ago? I thought he had been retired for some time in Unforgiven.
Maybe he oversold how long he'd been retired. This is time travel. Maybe it changed the past a little. I don't know, Tim. I don't have good answers for you.
The way you're rewriting the rules of his universe are screwing with my answer.
Okay, so let's say that it is him. Like, this is what's taking place instead of the movie Unforgiven.
Okay.
So he's exactly as old as in Unforgiven. Exactly the same background.
And as in the movie Unforgiven, he seemed to have a lot of regret over the lives he's taken in the past, and so I think he would hesitate more so than Sean Connery would. And so that's why I give it to Sean Connery.
This is true. Yeah, if I'd really wanted
Clint's heart is not in killing in Unforgiven. Whereas, well, Sean Connery flings a knife at someone's neck and goes, "You must never hesitate."
Now, let's say, I'm just going to I'm gonna say something here. Let's say Sean Connery kills Clint Eastwood's friend, Morgan Freeman's character. Would that change your answer?
What if that's who he killed?
Would that change my answer? Nope.
Okay. Because he was pretty angry about that, and he fucked the people up that did it.
He was, but...
Spoiler alert, 20-year-old movie. Holy shit, Unforgiven is 20.
But I don't know that that made him make any smart decisions other than just...
But he's always been good at killing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still got to give it to Sean Connery. He was trained by, like, British intelligence.
Yep.
Clint Eastwood was just trained by... He was lucky that his trial and error never included death.
That's pretty good trial and error, though.
Regardless. Or
trial
just regardless.
And sort of limited error.
Yeah,
yep,
mostly...
I'm giving it to Sean Connery.
I'm going to have to go... I got to go Eastwood. I don't know why. I really can't give it a good explanation.
I don't know. I just feel like the movie says, he's always been lucky at killing. I'm going to go with Eastwood.
I think Sean Connery would probably... I think he'd set some good traps, tie some trip lines and whatever to sort of narrow down the approaches that Clint Eastwood could get on him. But yeah, I mean... He was fucking spectacular at killing in that movie.
I fucking love that movie.
That is a good movie. If it was no weapons and just hand-to-hand, you have to give me Sean Connery would take that.
If it was hand-to-hand, I would totally give you Sean Connery.
I would give you that as well.
All right.
Tim, I need some kind of victory here.
Tim, I'd give you hand to hand or knife to knife.
What about ass to ass?
I'd give you ass to ass. I know, right. It's pretty, baby, but I didn't take it out for air.
Will Money wins. Hooray!
But he gets a little shot up.
And can Superman rape him?
Oh, yeah.
He would definitely be making his Clint Eastwood face.
Breaks his wizened frame in twain.
I got high pants, but you didn't even notice because I'm such a badass. I got saggy old man balls, but you're still afraid of them.
If Superman can rape Noah, Superman can rape old Clint Eastwood. That's how I see it.
Well, this is 20 years younger Clint Eastwood. We maybe remember him a little older.
And this Kryptonian is young and spry and ready for action.
Eternally spry. And ready for raping. Wow, Eastwood was only 62 when he did that movie.
Only?
Yeah. Now he's 82.
And now he's about to die any day.
Now Clint Eastwood could hacky sack with his own balls.
His balls are like those little death things where it's just like you ram one ball against the other and just go tick-tock, 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 tick-tock.
Newton's Cradle. Boom. Drop some knowledge on you.
And those are perpetual motion machine? Would that be considered?
No, they're not perpetual motion. They just have a very, very high efficiency in transferring energy from one side to the other.
So they would not go forever?
No. No, not even close to it. Mythbusters actually had a fascinating episode where they built larger and larger Newton's cradles and showed that it does not scale up. Like, they get less and less efficient the bigger everything is. Like, more and more energy is lost. Because they were trying to build Newton's cradles out of wrecking balls.
Wow.
And they even built they built fake wrecking balls, things that looked like wrecking balls. But instead of being full of concrete, they had a, 3-inch solid steel disc in the middle to try to get as much, incompressible or less compressible steel on steel to transfer as much energy. And, it hits, and you hear this gong, like God's own gong hitting. And the other side just kind of goes, fwee. maybe, a quarter inch or something. Really pathetic.
All right.
So, yeah. Go watch Mythbusters, kids.
All right. There you go. Random Mythbusters review by Andy at the end of the episode.
Yep. All right, yeah. Have a good week, everyone. And remember, kiddies, never trust a pedophile.
You're doing it.
Riding the queen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the TanCast podcast. You can go to our official website, TanCast.com, where you can read our blogs and find links to the official TanCast Facebook page, the official TanCast Twitter page, and the official TanCast store. We'd love to get emails from you, so email us at fucktards@TanCast.com or yourmom@TanCast.com, or you can email the guys individually at Tim, Andy, or Noah at TanCast.com. As always, we'd like to thank DJ Technoid for creating the official TanCast theme, and we'd like to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review so other people can find us. That's all for this week, and as always, remember, the pigeon is a lie.
TanCast. Oh, and before we go, don't forget to, you guys can shut off if you want to. Before we go, how would you forget? You didn't even know. Before we go.
We're about to go, but before we do, something's about to happen.
Before we go, I want to let you know, if you would like to see me live doing stand-up comedy, I'll be back at Rooster Feathers Comedy Club in Sunnyvale on Wednesday, May 9th, headlining the new talent showcase. Did I say May 9th? Is it May 9th? It is. Good. And then I'll be at Bunjo's in Dublin, California, headlining there on May 25th. And I'll be in Moraga, California on May 26th. What the fuck is up,
Coachella? And where the fuck is Moraga, you may ask? I don't know.
Google it.
Check out
You'll
Google
find
Maps.
A link in the show notes with address and everything, baby. Don't fret.
But Tim, your link does not have directions from my house.
I remember, don't trust Moraga.
I was going to switch my bit from you're riding the queef to explaining what I learned on the show today. You know, just some throwaway line about that. But I didn't learn shit today, so maybe next week.
All right. Nipples.
And Chinese.